Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
My friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
That was last night in Philly as Hillary Clinton officially becomes the candidate accepting the nomination. And they wrapped up their big convention last night with that speech. Here to give us some sense of how it went for Democrats in Philadelphia is our friend A.B. Stoddard. She's an associate editor of Real Clear Politics and a columnist there. Good morning to you, A.B.
Good morning.
All right, here's the first question. You know, Hillary Clinton is someone who's been on the public stage, you know, since the 80s for many people. She's first lady, senator, secretary of state. I mean, we know her pretty well as an individual and as a politician. Most people have a pretty strong opinion about her one way or the other. And yet last night, here she was trying to reintroduce herself to us and change our perceptions about her. Did she succeed?
Well, she had to try. I thought that she did an interesting blend of sort of hitting Trump and doing some biography of herself and trying to be earnest about her passions and her service and admitting that she's not really good, great as a public person, a speaker, and you know, a communicator. But she obviously left this big trust deficit issue.
Well, I was going to ask you about that
equation,
because
and I think that was the big risk that many in her party wanted her to take. They wanted her to address it and try to move past it, and instead she focused on her ability and her resume.
Yeah, why do you think they did it? Because we talked to Lanny Davis, you know, who is pretty close to Hillary Clinton, and Lanny assured us that there was going to be some addressing of that issue, that many people have a trust problem with Hillary Clinton. Why do you think she didn't do it?
I think she's not a risk taker, and she just thought that it was going to be too high stakes and that she might not reap the reward for the risk, and that it would be the subject for the next 5 days and throughout the campaign, and that, oh, she, you know, tried to earn our trust back and admit that people don't trust her, but she flopped. I don't, you know, Hillary always takes the calculated, cautious route. She doesn't go for broke, and I just think that she really believes that Trump is so scary to enough people, and that her resume is so overwhelmingly, you know, she's so qualified for the job that people in the end will just think it's too scary a risk to vote for Trump, and that she's hoping her numbers will just, you know, she'll out campaign him and she'll get the most votes in the end. It is a big risk with her trust numbers being what they are.
A.B. Stoddard, we in our pre-speech analysis, we sort of reached the conclusion that there were two potential target audience: the disaffected Bernie Sanders voters, who she needs to win back into the fray as part of the Democrat base, or the disaffected Republican voters who generally vote Republican but can't find a way to vote for Donald Trump. These are two very, very different groups, and it seems like she had to pick one. Did she? Because it seems to me in this speech, if she leaned anywhere, it was more toward the Republicans who won't vote for Trump. But even then, it wasn't a whole lot there.
Right. I mean, look, she's trying to thread the needle and do both. Her comfort zone is clearly with the moderate or centrist Republicans, or Republicans who will defect from Trump, and she's trying to convince them that she's worth getting off the couch and actually voting for instead of just staying home. And that's, you know, a place where she can pick up some numbers on the margins, to be sure, maybe even in the right states, like Virginia and swing states. But look, she obviously started the week trying to appeal to the Bernie voters, too, let them have their frustration, let them have their process and their protest out for all to see, and I think that they will be working hard in the months to come to try to woo those people, and they'll hope to enlist Bernie Sanders to do that, because they know that that's where she needs to make up her numbers and her vote within her own party, and she can't just count on Republicans swinging over to support her and sort of, you know, put her over the top. And Republicans consolidated behind Trump. That's why he got a boost. I don't know that I think Trump has a ceiling, and I think she has a ceiling, and it means that they both need their party to get to 50+1. Very few voters, obviously, in between.
Yeah, I was wondering why you didn't see any Democratic swipes at the Libertarians or the Green Party. I mean, after all, if they take enough of the Democratic votes, and there are a lot of Bernie people who might be persuaded to vote that direction, that really hurts her campaign effort. I mean, she could lose because of these third and fourth party candidates.
Right. What's interesting, though, is I think that they calculated, what do you say to the room, and everyone in the room, all the delegates and the passionate, invested partisans understand about that, you know, about Ralph Nader taking the presidency away from Al Gore, 90,000 votes in Florida, you know, all that kind of stuff is makes sense. Everyone in the room is fluent with that. But I think they were trying to speak to an audience at home that only tunes in to these conventions on TV and don't, you know, follow what you and I do all day online about the, you know, the intricacies of the race and all the detail. And I think that if trying to talk about Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or spoiler candidates, you know, might have become too confusing for those out there they were hoping to reach on TV. And maybe they'll use surrogates to talk about that in the months to come. That is a calculation. I mean, that's something that they need to focus on because it is material. And if Gary Johnson gets to 15% and gets on the debate stage, that really is a huge factor for her. But I think that's something they need to put off now to try to just take advantage of these couple days with an audience they might not get again.
A.B. Stoddard, let's look at the numbers real fast in this final minute that we have with you. I think it's no doubt now Trump did get somewhat of a bounce coming out of his convention. It's different depending on the polls you look at, but it's certainly more than what we've seen in the past few election cycles coming out of presidential conventions. What about Hillary? What kind of bounce could she get here, and what do you anticipate based on what you saw?
Well, it's so interesting. What makes a convention bounce, right? Is it great speakers, a lack of division and drama, a cohesive message? You know, you could say that the DNC was a great success by all accounts. It started a total holy smoking disaster, and 3 days later it ended with good speeches, displays of patriotism, appeals for unity, you know, cohesion, people, not too many audible boos when she was speaking, whatever, it was under control and started out an earthquake. So you could say, what a great convention. Does a convention make the bounce? Does the candidate make the bounce? I don't know. I don't know how much of her speech will change people's minds, make them feel safe and comfortable if they hated her a week ago, into telling a pollster that they support her, you know, next Tuesday. I don't even know, really. I guess that Ted Cruz might have actually helped give Donald Trump a bounce with Republicans who were on the fence and unify some people around him. And his, of course, convention was filled with total mayhem in terms of just process and tactics and that, and, you know, campaign mistakes, that kind of thing. So it'll be really interesting to see. She, you know, it's very easy to depress Hillary's vote because of, you know, even just say the word email now, right?
Right.
So I'll be watching that, you know, with great curiosity.
Thank you, A.B. Stoddard, Associate Editor of Real Clear Politics. Thanks for joining us, A.B.
Thanks, A.B.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.